Now, there are things about the past we want to hold on to. Obviously, we will talk about that this morning. We want to hold on to the promises of God. But we want to let go of those things that represent the way we've misused the promises of God, or we've held on to other things instead of the promises of God. And so it's so critical for us to let go of idols of the past as we pivot and we look forward to what God has in mind. And so this morning, I want you to think with me for just a moment about times that you have been afraid or apprehensive about a situation or the future. Can you think of some times in your own lives individually where that's been the case? And maybe in some ways, you're apprehensive about the future for Trinity Christian Chapel and what God has in mind and what he's thinking about. I know that one of the things I appreciate about, as a reminder, every time I get an email from Betty, if you've gotten an email from her, you ever notice the verse that's at the bottom of her email? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. And aren't you glad that he's with you through the fire? Aren't you glad that you can go through the waters and know that he's with you? In fact, he can empower you to even walk on the waters with him. And as I was thinking about asking you about times that you've been afraid, I was thinking about personal times in my own life. I've shared with you the story about our daughter Stephanie's kidney transplant and the surgery. And one of the things that I didn't share with you that happened at that same time was prior to the transplant, we found out that my wife Kathy had an ovarian tumor the size of a junior football. And so after the complications with Stephanie's surgery, we barely got Stephanie home long enough. I think it was basically 48 hours later, one day. One day later, I'm taking Kathy to the hospital to have surgery to remove this tumor. And here's how the doctor described the surgery. He said, if I come out in 45 minutes, that means it's benign. If you don't see me for a couple hours, that means we've got cancer. I'd already been beat up going through Stephanie's transplant time. And I can tell you, as I sat there with a mix of faith and fear and apprehension, I was one happy person when I saw the doctor in 45 minutes come through that door looking for me to give me the news that the tumor was benign and no more complications. But we've all faced those kinds of times. I remember my dad last year, a year ago, April, as he was leaving this life to go into eternity. And in fear, both a mixture of fear and hope for what he knew was to come, he kept saying this. Doyle, he says, I don't know what to do. I said, you mean about dying? He goes, I don't know what to do. I said, I haven't done this before. I don't know what to do either. But if you've been with someone that's in that place, there's such a mixture of fear and apprehension along with the hope that they have, but it's a scary time. And so going forward as Trinity Christian Chapel, we're faced with a challenge of following God's plan or following our own idea of what we think is best. And it's going to continue to require us to deal with the anxiety that comes up and then turning that anxiety over to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me get through this time. It's critical that we also empower and encourage one another to stay focused on God's plan for Trinity and for our own lives personally. And what we need to be careful about is we typically default to our own wisdom, don't we? When we get scared, when we get anxious, we grab a hold of things, we grab a hold of what we think has worked before, and then we start trying to do it, and then we realize the Lord kind of gently slaps us across the side of the face and says, oh, no, 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 don't do it that way. Trust me. Oh, yeah, I can trust you. And as we risk defaulting to our own wisdom, what happens is that we don't empower and encourage one another as we stay focused. And so this morning, I want us to look at the life of Joshua for a few minutes. Actually, more than a few minutes. That's just preacher talk for give me a few. So I want us to look at the life of Joshua this morning to help us with dealing with fear and apprehension. And I think it will help us to be laying the foundation to continue to pivot toward what God has in mind for us individually and for us as a church. Now, I want you to watch this Bible Project video, just 4 minutes of the introduction to the book of Joshua. So if we could cue that up, I want you to take a look at this.
The book of Joshua. Let's back up and remember the story so far. So God chose Abraham, and then his family became the people of Israel, who are then enslaved down in Egypt. And so through Moses, God rescued Israel out of Egypt. He made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, and he brought them through the wilderness. So Israel then camped outside the promised land, and Moses called them to obey God's commands so that they could show all the other nations what God is like. The book of Joshua picks up right after Moses has died, and Israel's ready to enter the land. So the story of Joshua is designed with four main movements. Joshua first leads Israel into the promised land, and then once they're there, they meet all this hostility from the Canaanites, and so they engage them in battle. Then after their victories, Joshua divides up the promised land as the inheritance for the 12 tribes, and then the book concludes with these final speeches that Joshua gives to the people. So let's dive in, and we'll see how all of it flows together. The first section begins with Moses' death, and Joshua is appointed as Israel's new leader. And the author intentionally presents Joshua as a new Moses. So like Moses, Joshua calls the people to obey the Torah, which means the covenant commands that they were given at Mount Sinai. And then Joshua sends spies into the land, just as Moses did back in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, except it goes way better this time. In fact, even some Canaanites turn and follow the God of Israel. Joshua then leads all Israel across the Jordan River and into the land. Just like the sea parted for Moses in the Exodus, so here the River Jordan parts and the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant across, leading all Israel with them. Now, in chapter 5, the story transitions. So the people look back to their roots as God's covenant people, and so the new generation is circumcised and they celebrate their first Passover in the land. But then they turn and prepare to go forward. And Joshua has this crazy encounter with a mysterious warrior, who, it turns out, is the angelic commander of God's army. And Joshua asks, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And the warrior responds, "Neither." Which shows that the real question here is whether Joshua is on God's side. It makes clear that this whole story is not about Israel versus the Canaanites. Rather, this is God's battle, and Israel is going to play the role of spectators or sometimes supporters in God's plan, which leads to the next section. We find stories about all these conflicts that Israel had with different Canaanite groups, and the first part retells the story of two battles in detail, and that's followed by a series of short stories that condense years of battles into a few brief summaries. So the first two battles are against Jericho and then Ai. And they offer these
The question for Joshua was, whose side are you going to be on? You're going to be on the Lord's side, or are you going to follow your own idea? And I want us to think about these questions this morning as we look at the life of Joshua, and that is, how do we release power in ourselves to others so the very best of them comes to the surface in a most powerful way? Another question I want us to ask is, what core values and practices do we need to empower and to put courage or encourage one another? And then the last question I want us to think about is, are we going to embrace God's plan, or are we going to insist on our plan? Which one is it? And so I want you to turn with me to the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and I want us to look at the introduction to Joshua and draw some principles from his life that I think apply to helping us with empowering and encouraging one another to follow God's plan, which I think we would all agree is the best idea at the end of the day. Amen? So Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. And please notice the repetition of this phrase, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous, very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, and once again, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, he continues to give instructions and commands about some of the tribes, but I'd like us to move down to verse 16. And they answered Joshua. One more. And they answered Joshua, all that you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all these things, we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and be courageous. So if we could pull back to the verses 6 through 9. If you look at verses 6 through 9, that phrase, be strong and courageous, is mentioned three different times. And in the references to be strong and courageous, there's basically three words that start with the letter P to make it easy to remember how Joshua was to be strong and courageous. The first word is promises. The second word to encourage being strong and courageous is practice. And the last word is presence. Rely on the promises of God, practice his word, and stay in his presence. Rely on the promises of God, practice his word, and stay in his presence. I would like to think that if that's what we do as a church, then we'll be okay. But if we drift away from the promises of God, we start losing focus, and that's when discouragement starts to come in. When we drift away from practicing what God is saying, and we start depending on our own ideas, on our own ways of doing things, then we pull back into our lives the idols of the past that will bring death and destruction to the future. And if we are not careful about staying in the presence of God and staying close to him, what will happen is two things. One is we won't hear him when he speaks. And the second thing is that is actually a fearful thing, is that as the angel of the Lord was saying to Joshua, whose side are you on? God will decide for us which way it's going to go. And we don't want him to bring his judgment against us because we are not staying close to his presence. So let's look at these three P's. The first foundation stone that I want us to think about today is we need to be trusting the promises of God. That means we need people who gain courage from the promises of God. Verse 6, It says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. The Lord first tells Joshua to be strong and courageous based on his promises. The Lord had promised, as we watched in the video, the Lord had promised all the way back to Abraham that his people would gain this land, which now we know as Canaan, that he would have many, a multitude of people added to his life, to his family. He even establishes this covenant that's so serious. It says in Genesis 15, may I be cut in two if I don't keep my promise to you. You all realize how grateful we can be that God always keeps his promises? I mean, we don't always keep our promises, but we rely on one that always keeps his covenant with us. And so we rely on his promises by the power of our testimony, the power of your testimony. Let me encourage you to do something. Do yourself a favor this week and contact one of your brothers and sisters as part of Trinity. Maybe it's someone that you talked to before and you've heard their story of how they came to know Christ, how they learned about the promises of God, and how they've seen the faithfulness of his promises over the years. Maybe you want to call them and just hear it again. Or maybe you call somebody else that you haven't talked to before, because one of the things I have found that's so amazing, everyone, is I tell you, one of the funnest things about doing this transitional pastor thing is hearing your stories. Asking the questions of, well, how did you come to know Christ? I mean, when Mike Avis, when the Avises told me their story about coming to know Christ, I've told that story about half a dozen times to other people as an encouragement, as an empowerment of what God can do to bring people and bring families to know Jesus Christ, even when we least expect it. You know what I'm talking about? And so do yourself a favor and be encouraged by going to different ones. Go to Jack, go to Don, go to Nelson, go to Paul, go to Julie and say, tell me your story. Remind me of how the promises of God have worked in your life. Because there's something about the power of the testimony from generation to generation, how the Lord has proven himself faithful in keeping his word. And Joshua can be strong and courageous on the basis of God's unfailing covenant promise. Joshua's task was to lead them into the promised land. They'd been wandering. They'd been waiting for God's promise for a long time. And I suspect that Joshua felt a level of exhilaration, and he was terrified at the same time. Because now he's on the spot, and all he's got are the promises of God. And what happens if it doesn't work? What happens if he says, I'm the leader now? And two things occur. One is they say, well, we're not going to follow you. And the second is he leads them into disaster. And so where does he get this courage? It happens, it comes because he's experienced the promises of God. And let me do this quickly because we don't have enough time to go through all of it. But if you go to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, that's the story of where the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites. And Joshua and his men go into the valley to start the battle. And Moses is supposed to hold up the rod and hold up his hands. And remember, he gets weary, and Aaron and Hur hold his hands back up. But who benefits from the power of God manifesting in that situation? Joshua does. Joshua is the one that told people time after time, we were fighting and we were starting to lose because we don't know what was going on because the Amalekites were starting to prevail. Then all of a sudden, something changed. And then when he got back together with Moses and Aaron and Hur, he's telling them the story about what happened, how the ebb and flow of the battle was going on, and we were about ready to lose, and then all of a sudden, something changed. And I bet you Moses and Aaron Hur all said, we know what changed. We saw the power of God begin to move. And so Joshua had experienced the value of those promises, the testimony of the Lord that was an encouragement. And that's why we need one another's testimonies. Because sometimes we just don't have enough firepower. We don't have enough left in the tank to go on. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to draw from you as well to build up my tank, to build up my energy to go forward. And so the practical application of this is this. I was driving up to the building here the other day, and I had never seen it before, and maybe you've not seen it either. But do you know that out here on this corner, it says 1973. This sanctuary was built in 1973. And I'm like, wow, that was like 50 years ago. That was like 50 years ago. I'm benefiting from a vision about God's promises someone had 50 years ago, or even before that, before the building was put together and built. And here's the thing that's significant. You know the number of 50 is a very significant number in the scriptures, right? And so next Sunday, it's independence, it's July 4th weekend, right? Well, we're going to celebrate the nation's independence, but we're going to celebrate an independence that's far greater than that. We're going to celebrate the freedom that comes from the year of Jubilee that was declared over all of the people of Israel to say all debts are canceled and everything is recognized as provided by the power of God, and we reset. And I want you to have a vision of something. I want you to have a vision about something. Next year is the 50th anniversary of this sanctuary being built. In this coming year, a new pastor is going to be coming to Trinity Christian Chapel. And could this be the year of Jubilee that sets the stage, that sets the trajectory and the direction for what this church is going to accomplish in the next 50 years? Anybody on board? Anybody on board? Amen. We have an opportunity, we have a responsibility, and we have a privilege to celebrate the promises of God. The next foundation stone is seeing God at work. And the core value of this foundation stone is we need people who gain courage by testing and practicing their faith in God's word. In verses 7 and 8, or verse 7, he says, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then you know this famous verse, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Obeying all that the law that my servant Moses gave you, provides Joseph this tether that keeps his work in continuity with the work of Moses and all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It puts Joshua in a proper posture of humility that says, I can't do this unless I follow carefully the laws of God. You realize we can't build a church if we try to build a church differently than what the scripture prescribes, because the scripture tells us exactly what we need to be doing, and so we need to follow it to a T as much as we possibly can. And that's the kind of leader God's people needed. That's the kind of leader that Trinity Christian Chapel needs. And we need a leader that is able to see through the fog, to see through the fog of despair, the fog of despondence, the fog of disappointment, the fog of discouragement that some of us may feel. And if you go to Numbers 14, chapter 14, verses 1 through 10, and I won't take the time to read through it all, but you know the story. This is when Moses sends the 12 spies into the land. How many came back with the right message? Two. And this gets me every time. Verses 3 and 4. Why is the Lord bringing us into the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be far better for us to go back to Egypt? Guess what? Some of you may not have said it, but some of you have thought that in the last few months and years. And then in verse 4 it says, and they said to one another, let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Those 10 spies were wanting to go backwards instead of forwards. Those 10 spies were wanting to say, we don't trust leadership anymore to lead us in the direction God is saying to go. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly and all the congregation of the people of Israel. And then this is the one that gets me. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes And they said to the congregation, the land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. We need a leader and leaders that are like that, that say, I don't care what the message is, this is where God told us to go, and he's going to lead us there. That's what we need in a people. Leaders in a people that are willing to go into places that don't look like they really make a lot of sense, but we know God said to go, and we're going to go. It's so critical to notice in this story that Joshua and Moses said, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. Trinity, don't be afraid of what the future is going to be, because God's hand is on the church. And if God keeps his hand on the church, we have nothing to be afraid of, because we have the promises to stand on, and we have the word to trust on. And so we move on. And we know that as Moses grew weary, there are times that we're going to grow weary. But Joshua learned from watching Moses during those times. That's why it's so critical, church. I'm sorry, this is not Nelson. This is not Pastor Nelson Day, but I'm just going to say it. That's why it's so critical for a church to have people like Pastor Nelson and like others that are here that have been in the trenches for a long, long time. Because they're the ones that help us remember, yeah, there's times that there's been good times, there's been rough times, but you know what? In the middle of it all, God has carried us through. And he carried us through before, and he's going to carry us through again. We need spiritual mothers and fathers. I've talked about this before, and I'm pretty sure, I apologize if I shared this before, but we need spiritual mothers and fathers, and keep this in mind. I'm not talking about that you have to be older, an older spiritual mother or father to the younger ones. It can be in reverse, you know. There are some of you older folks that need some of the younger folks to be your spiritual mother and father, so to speak. And again, I apologize if I told you this story, but we've got a personal friend from Grand Rapids, Michigan. How old is Bob? 80? 80? Bob is 80. This may surprise you, but that's older than I am. And I won't tell you all the circumstances, but part of the issue is he always says that I saved his life, because one time in a moment of despair, he almost ran out on a busy boulevard close to our house, and I grabbed him and asked him what he was doing, and he says, you saved my life. You know what I got last week from Bob? Father's Day card. Kathy got a Mother's Day card. He refers to us as his papa and mama. He's older than we are, but we are his spiritual parents. And so we all need to seek out spiritual mothers and fathers, and we need to seek out spiritual sons and daughters. We need everybody on board. As Josh said earlier in his announcement, we need everyone on board. In this area, we need everybody on board. Pray about it. Think about it. Look for someone to invest your life into. And then the final foundation stone is engaging God's presence. We need people who gain courage from God's presence, not outside sources. When the Lord goes with his people, they have all the reason in the world to be strong and courageous. Even when they cross rivers, even when they go across rugged terrain, even in battle, even when they face giants, worship God's presence cultivates the soil of our heart to receive God's revelation for the vision we need to go forward. Let me read that again. That's a good word. And Josh, you can have this word, by the way. Worship cultivates the soil of our heart to receive God's revelation for the vision we need to go forward. I love it when Josh is at the keyboard and he stands back and he does this. You notice what he's doing? You know, he's not just going, sing louder. Well, yeah, he is saying, sing louder. But he's basically saying, you sing. And I love standing up here and hearing the volume begin to increase as you give yourself to worship. Trinity, keep doing that. Keep doing that over and over again as we engage God's presence. It's cultivating the soil of our hearts so that we can receive God's revelation and we can hear clearly what his directions are for us. Verse 9 says, back to verse 9 in chapter 1, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says, thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Do you know why Joshua knew something about God's presence? Because he hungered for God's presence. He said, where's Moses? Somebody said, he's going up to the mountain. Joshua said, I'm going with him. I would tell you, if you find somebody at Trinity that loves to worship God, that's the person to hang out with. Don't hang out with people that like to complain. Don't hang out with people that are always down in the mouth about things. Hang out with people that like to exalt God and magnify him and give him glory. Those are the people I want to hang out with. There's enough trouble around me already without hearing somebody else encourage me to say the same thing I'm thinking in my own heart. I need people that are going to lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. Skipping along to another verse, I'm going to skip through some of these, Jeff. Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit and wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. It's amazing how God used Joshua and gave him a spirit of wisdom because he relied on the promises of God. He leaned into practicing God's word, and he trusted his presence. And we know, as we go back to Joshua chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, verse 17 in particular, just as we obeyed Moses in all these things, so we will obey you. That's when the transfer of leadership, that's when we know that it really happened. And it's in this season we need to embrace presence more than ever before. Now, it may be clear to you as we wrap up here this morning that Joshua provides a picture of his namesake, Yeshua, or Jesus. Jesus demonstrated these core values to his disciples. It's interesting that the same thing was said about Jesus that was said about Joshua. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor of God and man. And you know what the scripture says about the promises of God? You know what it says? They are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. He not only relies on the promises of God, he exudes the promises of God. He battled the enemy in the wilderness. And how did he battle the enemy in the wilderness? With the word of God. And then finally, he drew all of his strength. So many different times the Gospels talk about he withdraws to a solitary place. Why? Because he wants to be in the presence of his Father. So now it's our turn to be the Joshua generation. It's our turn to be like Joshua. More importantly, just like Jesus. And I want to finish with this. John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. You ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Brothers and sisters, as you embrace the promises of God, as you practice his word, as you run into his presence, Jesus' promise is you're going to do greater works than even he did. Why? Because he's totally secure as a leader, and he celebrates every moment that you do things that are even greater than he did. He celebrates from his place, seated at the right hand of the Father, saying, yes, that's my son. Yes, that's my daughter. Because they are following the lead that my servants Joshua and Moses and Jesus did for them. Are you ready to embrace those promises? Are you ready to follow his word? Are you ready to run into his presence? Would you please stand together with me? And I would ask you to put your hands out in front of you right now. And I'm going to pray that the Lord would release over us a greater sense of his power and a greater sense of his courage. So Lord, right now, over your people, over Trinity Christian Chapel and everyone that calls this church home, we pray, Father, for a greater release of power and a greater release of courage. Lord, I pray that you would bring back to their mind, even right now, times that they've seen the promises of God come true in their lives. Remind them of those times. Encourage them with those times. And Lord, give them a fresh renewal of understanding of your word. Give them a greater hunger for your word. And not only hunger for your word, but a desire to follow it, jot and tittle, every step of the way. And then finally, Lord, I pray that you would give them a hunger for presence, that you would give them a longing to be in your presence for not just a minute at a time, but even minutes and hours, Lord. And then help us to do the greater works that Jesus promised we would do. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.